2024 is about 25% done. Where's your year at? So far, we're looking at presidential race almost a third of the way through. Baseball season just starting up with a ton of stories I can't wait to tell you about. One including a cheating scandal that might be on the level of Pete Rose. And furthermore, just concluding where we're at as a podcast, as a people, 2024. Let's get right to it. So, how's your 2024 been? Mine's been full of changes, good and bad, and it's been fun to try to, I would say, keep up with this year, because it's been whiplash. The whole year has just been whiplash, story after story, news after news, things happening personally in the world. And yeah, I just can't. I think that this year has honestly been a great year so far. I think it's going to continue to get better. And I think that a lot of people's eyes are going to be opened to the bullshit going around all around them. So without any further ado, let's talk about story number one on my mind, only because I'm glad that it's kind of receding into a narrative in of its own. Seems like people are kind of not really giving a shit about the presidential race. And I think that's a good thing. It's a shitty race. Two bad candidates that are headlining it, and then now we have a third that's confirmed. And if you were, I wasn't really following this, but when I heard the news that RFK Jr. selected a VP candidate and it was just a random lady, I'll pull up her name real quick. So Nicole Shanahan, unbeknownst to me really, ended up being the pick there. You had all this flaunting of guys like Aaron Rodgers going out there, right? He was going to pick, it was Andrew Yang. So for him to, I think it was a major mistake. If you're really going for the bang, why would you even float a name like Rodgers if it wasn't serious? That's just my thought on it. Anyway, he might've gotten a crackdown from the team, which is totally fair. But you have a serious contender, and it's kind of reflecting in the polls. Something that I was paying attention to is looking at the polls before I got on the show here. You're definitely not seeing, and I'm sure that right-wing media, I haven't really been watching right-wing or left-wing media in general, just trying to scroll through the news, especially on Twitter, and just see what I see. But I'm sure that right-wing outlets are going to try and claim that they have the majority here, that they have a poll advantage, that the polls are swinging. And I'll give them something. They are swinging in Trump's favor, but it is really neck and neck, it looks like. If Trump's ahead, Trump's ahead by a point or two. If he's behind, he's behind by, you know, 2-3 points. And one thing I found interesting was some polls that included RFK, some of them getting 5%, some of them bumping him all the way up to 15-20%. And that's a major, major takeaway. I'll pull up this poll now as we talk about it. You know, I'm not a huge political head, and I do think that polls are bullshit, but it's interesting to see what it does to the numbers. So when you don't include a Kennedy run, right, you're looking at 50-50, according to Harris. Ledger says that Trump is ahead 41-37. This is March 23rd. Trump is ahead 47-43, according to another poll by Ledger. Beacon Research has Trump up by 4 or 5. It looks like 51-45. Then you have Biden. Where's it? Biden's ahead in the Quinnipiac, which is generally tending left-leaning, I understand, but 48-45. Yet another poll, I believe, where Trump is neck and neck. Yeah, so Trump, now when you include Kennedy, this is where it gets interesting. Trump is barely beating him, 43-44, with Kennedy getting 3% allegedly, and that's by YouGov. Harris-X, including Kennedy, having 14%. Now that puts Trump at 42 and Biden at 40, which is very interesting to me. It's a lot of vote count to get. I just don't see it. Just being honest, I don't see that many votes going to Kennedy. That being said, you could see a clear difference when you have 43-38, 12% according to Beacon Research. So 12% going to Kennedy. All these polls are kind of showing a tendingness towards Trump gaining momentum, I guess you could say. And the messaging hasn't really seemingly changed. It's been at least consistent, which I can applaud him on. The one thing that I think is going to hold the line, you know, if it's a big if, but if Biden is able to pull himself out of these wars, I think he gets a heck of a lot more support from the left side. If we're looking at still two wars going out And I'm not saying that America's in a war right now, but we haven't brokered peace. We'll put it that way. If that peace isn't brokered by November, I do really think that Biden's in trouble. And I think that's one of the biggest things. If we could see peace, especially a long-term ceasefire with Israel, I think that's going to gain him a massive amount of votes from the not only the Muslim population, but I think a lot of the people that are sympathizing with the Gazans. And I would say in some cases, rightfully so. So I think that's going to be pretty big for Biden, see if he can pull up there. Because like I said, Trump gaining momentum, you could see the writing on the walls starting to get written. And I mean, at this point, Biden just looks more lame duck than ever. Moving on, I want to talk a little bit about us, about We the Patriots. If you're enjoying the show lately, if you're enjoying some of the guests that we've had on, I know you might have seen some of them. And if not, go check maybe the past 2-3 months worth of episodes. Had some pretty damn good guests and guests that I think really resonate with our message. And also put forth some views that are, you know, I don't want to say the term like out there, but they really make you think and make you come into a thought process that not too many people are willing to go nowadays, I would say. And if you're willing to go there, you could start to look at problems that are happening around us in a much different light. So if you're a big supporter of that, I kind of have a challenge for you guys. Number one is engagement. I'm going to be posting reels, shorts on YouTube and TikTok specifically. For those two, I would love for you guys to go comment it up. Hate on us for the positions that we take, especially at TikToks. Of course, I'm going for the provocative ones there. I want you to comment. I want you to like it up. I want you to share that stuff because that's what's going to grow the show. And then furthermore, a more direct challenge. And I could see that we're inching closer and closer to that 100 sub mark, but I want a pretty big goal for this year. By the end of this year, I really would like to see us at 1,000 subs. Now, 1,000 subs on YouTube, that's a pretty big task. That being said, I think it's very achievable. And let me tell you how. 5 people. You obviously have friends, right? You're not all just basement dwellers. I know you. Some of you might be, and that's okay. But I know most of you. And if I know most of you, like you know me, odds are you have friends that are probably similar to you and I, or at least would like the conversations that we have here. If you can challenge yourself, help us out, and of course we'll help you, start to build this community out. I'm thinking if everybody can get themselves 5 friends from this moment to come and subscribe to the show. Now you do math, we're sitting around 70, 75 now. 5 of you guys come along, every single one of your friends, 5 more. We're looking at somewhere in the range of 300 to 400 followers, 300 to 400 subs on YouTube. Then all we got to do is a little algorithm and we get 1,000. Yeah, I don't think it's unreachable. It all starts with you guys. You guys have been great so far, especially helping us guide the show into a direction for ears that might want to be heard. And that being said, now we need to find some more ears. And I'm going to have to ask you guys to help us out in that as we start to build, like I said, this community together, building a more engaging spot. And I really think that we can be a singular beacon of free speech and analysis that goes beyond that surface level that is so required in today's day and age when you are thrown just an ass load of bullshit every single day on every topic, right? It's not just your sports. It's not just your politics. It's everything that you get thrown today has a little slant on it. You have to understand that. And that's what we're here to have that conversation about. Doesn't mean we're right about everything. Doesn't mean we're wrong about everything either. I think it puts us in the conversation to have a conversation. And that's the biggest point of this whole thing for me and Andrew, I know. And I hope you guys can enjoy too. Now, with that said, let's get back into something that I think requires a little bit of second level thinking. Now, MLB season started and I could not be happier that I was wrong about my Yankees. My Yankees coming out with a Juan Soto trade. It looks like the mentality of the team has changed. Now we're 4 games in, but 4 games in beating Houston at home 4 times in a row with a comeback. Well, that sounds like 2009 Yankees to me. So I'm here for it. I think we got a good season ahead of us. Get a little bit of pitching back healthy. And I don't even know who could stop this team right now. So let's keep that going. That's a great mood. What's not so great of a mood is, if you recall a few months ago, I think I called back and I did a whole episode, at least shining him on the headline of the episode was Ohtani, right? Shohei Ohtani, this big, massive Japanese two-way star in baseball, signing a $700 million contract. Do the math, $700 million, a lot of money, right? And think about the endorsement deals he gets on top. We don't even have to go there. Okay. This man is the face of the league. There's a reason that he receives $700 million, right? It's not like a Trout, right? For those of you familiar with baseball, Trout's been, quote unquote, the best player in the league for, say, before last year, probably a decade, close to it. Ohtani wears it. He wants it. He takes the attention. He turns it into gold. I'm not saying he's an attention seeker. I'm saying he is someone who enjoys being in the spotlight, and he shines in it. When you have someone like that, and the league is in a mode where it is now, I think, profit-seeking, I would say, not really necessarily caring about the fan experience, you're going to get a league and teams who are very impartial about the way that they go about policing the game, as well as who they're going to go out on a limb to try to protect. Right? With this Ohtani situation, for those of you that are unaware, our big $700 million contract player going to the Los Angeles Dodgers now has a cheating scandal hanging over his head, and probably will hang over his head this entire season, on the likes of Pete Rose. Okay, let's talk about it. It's very, very nuanced. You need to understand the rules of sports betting and why this is such a horrendously bad mistake that was made on Ohtani's part. First and foremost being that Pete Rose, now, there's some allegations that even I had no idea about when I went to look up Pete Rose and what was so wrong with him. There are allegations of statutory rape, there are allegations of abuse in general, and of course, there are allegations and substantiated allegations of fraudulent sports betting. Some of those allegations I obviously knew about, some I not quite obviously, I did not. I was quite shocked to find out. That being said, when you look at a comparison of what happened with Pete Rose and Shohei, it's a very different situation, even if you're not to believe everything that's coming out of the Shohei Ohtani camp. Background, as I understand it, Pete Rose bet on everything. Bet on himself, bet on other teams. I can't tell, can't get substantiated evidence to say he ever did not bet against himself. If he bet against himself, obviously you have quite a conflict of interest, to say the least, right? But there was no evidence, I believe, of that. Now, Shohei Ohtani's instance is a little different because although, yes, when Pete Rose was doing it, sports betting was entirely illegal, or at least mostly illegal. So if you're sports betting, you're using an illegal bookie. Nowadays, when you're talking about in the age of 2023, 2024, when this incident occurred and is being investigated now, you have online bookies. You have people that you just don't have to get this deep with. And this is why I think the story takes it to another level of thinking where you have to try to understand what's actually going on and not listen to what's being fed. Case in point, the first story that came out about this, and I would believe this to be a trying to get ahead of the curve type move, was that Shohei Ohtani's personal translator, who is the one that is allegedly at fault in this situation, Ipe Nezuhara, I believe is his name. This man being a degenerative gambler, allegedly had access to all of his accounts, and like I said, tries to get out in front of the news and basically claim that he's a degenerate gambler and made a little slip up in his original statement. Actually, a massive slip up. He mentioned that Ohtani himself very much knew about the payments that were going. And not only that, he actually was the one that sent them in a way of helping a friend, trying to explain why on these transactions that were found, you might find the terms loan. Obviously, this is a big mistake. Why is this a big mistake? Well, if you know anything about gambling, sports gambling in particular in California, it's illegal. The only way to do that is to use an illegal bookie. And obviously, they have the wire transfers. They know that these are big sums of money, and I'll get to that in a minute. But that was a mistake, and that had to be corrected. I believe the following day, our same translator, Ipe, came out with another statement saying that that was not true. ESPN claimed that the statement was not corroborated. And then out came out another news burst. Now, this one saying that, actually, don't believe a word that Ipe said. You have to believe the real story, which is that eBay stole the money. All of this, I want you to keep in mind, because these are the only facts of the ground. The fact that the story changed three times and, big and, there is proof of Shohei Ohtani from my knowledge, I've heard otherwise, but to my knowledge and what I've seen, there is verified proof of two payments going back to 2023, $500,000 going to this illegal bookie from Shohei Ohtani. That's verified evidence on the ground. Story changed. Wire transfers. Now, allegedly, we have wire transfers totaling up to, I think it was $4.5 million, nine total wires of $500,000. Allegedly, right? This is not coming from something that I've read, so I can't verify it if you trust me as a news source. But this is why we have such a problem. It's not because he was betting, and they've tried to valiantly claim and be outspoken about the fact that he didn't bet on baseball, which really leads me to believe, now this is going another level here, it really leads me to believe that Shohei might be implicated in the betting itself. If they're trying to get so far out ahead of betting on baseball, I guess you could make the argument that eBay had inside knowledge and they don't want that either. But regardless, why would you try to get so far in front of not betting on baseball? Shohei had nothing to do with this. He was stolen from. If Shohei isn't implicated a little bit. And the problem with this at this point, and the problem in the first place, is actually that MLB didn't find this out. It was the FBI. FBI investigating this illegal bookie, allegedly, who was using Shohei Ohtani's name as a client to gain more business, which, why wouldn't you? All I'm asking, I'm not claiming to know anything, all I'm asking is for you to use a little bit of critical thinking skills. What would you do if you were a massive corporation, the MLB, and the Los Angeles Dodgers, both being very large corporations? What would you do if your biggest moneymaker had an allegation like this? Would you ever allow negative publishing? Would you ever allow the real story to come out? In my opinion, the answer to that is no. Now, if the person is a nuisance to the league, right, you think about someone like I guess nowadays you might say like a Manny Machado, a Bryce Harper, right? But think more like A-Rod, okay? Bonds. Guys who gave the league a problem got persecuted. Guys who helped the league on their trajectory, especially when needing to make money, get kid gloves. You look at a David Ortiz, right? I think, if I'm not mistaken, guy comes out and admits to cheating, admits to PED use. And that being said, he was so instrumental in that comeback story of Boston Red Sox in that 2018-2019 season, whichever one it was. You couldn't take him off. You couldn't possibly persecute this guy, prosecute him under the law of the MLB the way you would another slugger, because he was so impactful. I anticipate that kind of kid glove treatment for Shohei Ohtani. I expect us not to really hear this real story, possibly ever, but realistically, it'll come out in 20 years once his deferred payments are done. And it's a big problem. Just to close the show out on this, I think it's a major problem to have betting so far in the public view as it is today, with as legal as it is. Now, understanding that you're going to have sports betting anyway, you're going to have illegal bookies performing the betting, I understand that it's actually better to have a legalized system. That way that people can't run themselves into that much of a hole, a company will stop them, won't allow them to get deep. I can actually appreciate that. The problem that I have with it is the incentivizations for the players to be pro-gambling, for coaches to be pro-gambling, for the front offices to be pro-gambling, you know how much money these places rake in. It just gets so deep and so intertwined that you can't help but think, you know, a story like this Ohtani story needed to come out to kind of wake everybody up to the dangers that we might be having specifically on popularity of sports betting. And I'm not just talking about for the implications of the sport. I'm actually talking about the health of our nation. It's becoming a virus. And I see so many young men, my age and even younger, degeneratively gambling their whole savings away on sports bets. I can't tell you how many times I've seen an Instagram account saying recovering gambling addict, don't do this. And it's mind blowing to me to see that. I just think, now, I'm going to close it on this thought. I just think that as a society, we need to get away from glorifying that one-time victory and glory, the one-time virality of a video, the one-time you hit that shot, score that point, and you're on TV for it. Because at the end of the day, we're all human beings. We all shit. It all stinks, right? Everybody's got a little dirt in their room somewhere. Someone's got bones in your closet. Everyone's got them. At the end of the day, the more that we glorify these people, the more that we think that putting one little bet, but my life savings is on it, but I know it's going to come true, the more we take that aspect of life and I don't think shame it is the right word, but really prove that hard work, dedication over a long period of time is the benefit. And that's not just in one thing, that's in life, right? You could be talking about your job, you could be talking about education, you could be talking about your hobby, you could be talking about your relationships. If you're not willing to put in the hard work over a long period of time and you think just doing one thing one time really damn good is going to make everybody fall for you and everybody just blindly trust you, well, yeah, I got a bridge to sell you. You really do. I got an oceanfront property to sell you in Kansas. Saw that one online this week. I thought that was hilarious. I think that we can really come together as a nation here and understand that these quick fixes, specifically in politics, are not the move. Long-term, well-thought-out plans are where we need to be. And it's in everything. Like I said, your work, your relationships, your hobbies, your friends, family. It all takes a long time to build these great foundations. They're called foundations for a reason. You need to start somewhere. And I think we need to build a new foundation as a nation. I think we're well on our way to realizing that. Now it's about putting these wheels into motion, right? And being a part of that is one of the things that we the Patriots was really made for, right? People to share their ideas. Where can we go from here? How can we fix these issues that we have? Because to me, they're so solvable. To me, getting these people, I mean, 2024 and the next 4 years might stink, quote unquote. But guys, let's face it. There's no way we have the same presidential candidates next time around. Not even a chance. You can't be going on 90 running for president. It's not physically possible. Even with today's modern technology, it's just not going to happen. I can promise you that. And what that means is there's a broader horizon now. There's going to be a lot of dirty snakes in the grass. You have to pay attention. You're going to have eyes peeled all the time. But when do you not have eyes peeled? Why are you watching this show if you don't have eyes peeled? Am I right? Everybody's in this together. Let's get this work done. And see you guys on the other side. And I'll catch you next week. Remember, trying to get to that 1K. On YouTube, share it up with your friends, like it up, and go comment, especially over on those short videos. They get a ton of engagement, especially if you guys play with them. So,
I wish I were a fucking state. I want to be something, not nothing. Trapped inside my dream, and I'm running away from these demons. But the feeling's so good, I'm gonna keep dreaming.